And our first speaker today is Ernest Ambadou, who is a professor in mathematics education and has over 20 years of experience in the field, and also has been working intensively in developing teacher education in Ghana, UK, and in Sweden. And his topic today is COVID-19 and emergency education strategies in University of Ghana, students' challenges with emergency remote learning. Welcome, Ernest.
Thank you, Heda, and thanks for the opportunity to let me share my slide. Opportunity to be part of this discussion. As you rightly indicated, the topic for today's discussion is COVID-19 and emergency education strategies in the University of Ghana, students' challenges with remote learning. And this was something that I did with one of my colleagues at the University of Ghana, that is Dr. John Sedofia. And I'm currently at the Royal Institute of Technology in Sweden, but he's still at the University of Ghana. So when we did this research, it was published in this edited book, and I think it's 2021, and this is available online. So if colleagues want to have access to the full article or the full paper, they can have access to that. So for the purpose of this presentation, which I think is going to be short because you have just about 10 to 15 minutes to do the presentation, so I'm going to look at the context and then the rationale, and then the purpose, and then the research questions, and then the conceptual framework that guided the study, and then also the research design and then the methods, and then look at some results and then discussions and implications based on the results. Yeah, so I think disruptions in education sector has not been, it's not something that we've not seen before. And since the Second World War, we've witnessed several incidents, and there have been a disruption in education of children and adults alike. And between 2014 and 2018, for instance, attacks on education were recorded in about 87 countries across the globe, and over 35 million children were affected. Yeah. However, I think 2020's disruption has created the largest disruption that we have ever seen, affecting over 1.6 billion learners and from 192 countries, that is per the United Nations report 2020. Yeah, so in Ghana, all schools closed down around the 16th of March 2020 as a result of the pandemic, and different forms of emergency education strategies were put in place. And in the University of Ghana, all teaching activities were done online. And fortunately for the university, they used to have, or they have the Sakai learning platform before the COVID. So they were able to switch easily to the Sakai learning platform. However, that was the first time that the Sakai learning platform was put into its fullest capacity or used, because at first it was just as serving as a helping or a backlog for helping students and then lecturers in the teaching learning process. But when COVID came, they had to switch totally or completely into using that learning management system to support teaching and learning. So fortunately, I'll say that the university was able to complete the semester successfully, but definitely there were some challenges, and those are the things that we wanted to ask from the students to see what these challenges were and then how these challenges actually affected their overall learning experiences. So the purpose of the study was to examine the challenges that students had learning fully online, as this was maybe the first time some of them were experiencing this. And as I said, this was the first time that the Sakai management learning system was put into its fullest capacity. So the research questions that guided the study included what challenges do students face in learning online? And then how can the challenges associated with online learning be addressed or be minimized in order to support students' learning? Yeah, so the conceptual framework that we use to analyze the results was actually based on Harish and Reddy's framework, where they divided the different challenges that students are likely to encounter learning online into two different categories, that is main challenges in developed countries and then main challenges in developing countries. So under the main challenges for developed countries was based on the issues of emotions and then behavior. And then for developing countries, the issues of policy and resources, technical, and then competencies. These were the three main challenges that they actually discussed in their framework. So what we did was to take all these five challenges and see how students from the University of Ghana actually ascribe to any of these or to these challenges. So we used a survey design and we had a sample of 265 undergraduate and postgraduate students. 142 of them were males and then 123 were females. So the instrument that we designed was actually based on the framework that I've already mentioned. And we had 20 questions in all. The first 19 questions were items that were closed and used to rate participants' views on a 5-point scale on the challenges that they faced. And the last question was an open-ended question which sought to elicit information from students regarding how they could or how the challenges could be addressed. So we adhered to the ethical considerations of confidentiality, informed consent, and then voluntary participation. So the names of the students and then the departments or the courses that they are doing were not disclosed in the results that are being presented and then also published in the book chapter that I showed earlier on. So this is a brief statistics or descriptive statistics of the results. So what we have here is to look at the challenges based on the five thematic areas and outlined in the conceptual framework. So we looked at the issue of emotional challenges, behavioral challenges, competencies, technical challenges, policy, and then resources. So I will explain this, but I want to compare that with that of the framework that we used. So based on the framework and the normal circumstance, one would have expected that the issue of policy and resources should have been the major challenge or the major concern when it comes to learning online for students from developing countries. From our results, it showed that it was rather the technical challenges which actually stood out, followed by behavioral challenges before the policies and then the resources. And we think this could be attributed to the fact that there was existing learning management system, which I think it was only the University of Ghana who had that learning management system at place or in place when when schools were closed down. All other universities didn't have that kind of learning management system, especially the public universities. So they couldn't actually run the online or blended form of teaching. So they had to wait until the schools were actually reopened before they did they were able to complete their semester. So we're not disputing the fact that the issue of policy and resources might have been a major challenge. And as we say, if you compare with other public universities within the Ghanaian context, that would have been, or that is actually the major challenge, as there wasn't any learning management system in almost all the other universities that are available. But Sakai was already available, but the issue there was that Sakai had never been used to its fullest capacity as we experienced in from March 2020 to, I think, the ending of the year 2020. But it's also worth noting that behavioral challenges was also a major challenge when it came to the issue of the challenges that students have, as compared to the framework where it says behavioral challenges are supposed to be a minimal or supposed to be something that is of major importance at or maybe in developed countries. What the results is showing us is that behavioral challenges actually came second as compared to technical challenges. So the technical challenges are to do with the issues of internet connectivity and data, and then availability of devices to be able to connect to the platform and then also take part in the teaching learning process. So we tried to also run an independent t-test to see whether there was any significant difference between gender, that is male, female, and then their the challenges. But I realized with a p-value of 0.38, that shows there wasn't that much statistically a significant difference, even though the mean values for females were 3.9 as compared to that of males, which was 3.8. So that means the females ascribe more positively to the statements as compared to their colleagues, males. So in analyzing the how they think the concept or the issues or challenges that they have could be addressed, we try to first do a thematic analysis to put this into different categories or themes, and then try to see how many times these issues or these concepts came up. And the major concern that came up here was the issue of the cost of data, that is, how much students spent in order for them to be able to log onto the system. And since most of the lectures were held via Zoom and then other video conferencing facilities, it was quite expensive, and then it consumed a lot of data in order for them to join and be part of the teaching learning process. And the issue of flexibility in teaching and learning and assessment was also a major challenge, as students from remote areas actually ascribed to the fact that they were not able to do the assessment because assessments were normally time-bound, and because of poor connectivity and internet issues, they sometimes miss some of the assessment, some of the tasks that they are supposed to do. And in most situations, we normally end up doing the assessment about 3 or 4 times in order for us to be able to give the opportunity for all students to be able to take the assessment. So what are the issues? So we say that about 90% of the respondents reported that the greatest challenge was the issue of high cost of data. And this was consistent with the Tenebrae and then Tarus et al. Results. The University of Ghana actually provided a 5 gig internet data for all students and then faculty members to be used. But most of the students complained that the data ran out quickly, forcing them to buy their own data at expensive rate. Then also about 90.6% of the respondents disclosed that slow or weak internet connectivity posed a bigger challenge. And this is actually consistent with other studies by Akinlo and then Busulwa. So what are the implications and what does this actually tell us? So we're saying that most students were not somehow prepared for the change despite the existence of Sakai, even though Sakai was already there, but the change to full online learning and teaching wasn't something that most students were actually prepared for or has actually agitated for. So this calls for a critical look at integrating or critical looking integrating technology at all times to help students to become acquainted with the LMS and then other tools that are used. So there is also the need for national and then institutional policy change, especially now that remote learning or emergency remote learning, if you want to call it by that, or hybrid form of learning has come to stay. And integrating technology into our teaching and learning process is something that all institutions and then all countries are planning to make sure it's part of the teaching and learning process so that we are not taken unawares next time that we have maybe in this such incident. So there is also the need for consistent training for students and then teachers as well on how to use the different technological tools, as we think this wasn't actually done well because of the pressure and then the ad hoc nature of the approach that was adopted during the pandemic. So it was a way of trying to see how students can complete their semester and then coursework, and then those who had just about a semester more to graduate. And because of the pandemic, it dragged their graduation till, I think, instead of June or maybe July, which was late, the last date for graduation, the students, I think, were able to graduate somewhere around November, December 2021. Okay, so that is a little bit of this study. And as I said, it was published in that paper, so the full paper and then the full resource could be found in that book chapter. Thank you.